Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Whitney Hill, who's the co-founder and head of business development at Snap ADU. Whitney, welcome to the program.
Mike, thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. So let's get started off with, I always love asking about your story. What is your background and entrepreneurial journey to this point in your career?
Well, I spent about 10 years in corporate America, having the career I thought I was supposed to have. I worked first.
I see where we're going here. I get this right? A whole lot. It's like I took the long way around entrepreneurism. So that's awesome. That's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. It was, these left turns that kind of led me to where I was, where I am now. But, I started out working for an industrial supply company, doing the operations management kind of training program that they had. I was managing line employees at age 22. So that was definitely trial by fire.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was getting my MBA on the night and weekends. So that was another huge draw of that that job, was that they would cover, all that master's degree. So that was fantastic deal. And then I shifted gears to management consulting, where I continued to build just general management skills, knew I had an entrepreneurial spirit, but wasn't quite sure how to apply that. So just learned from the best in that role as well. And then finally left about 10 or 12 years into my career to start out on my own in real estate. And I started out thinking I was going to be investing in small multifamily and maybe even syndications. But I ended up meeting a partner where I was living in New Jersey who was looking for a financing partner for some fix and flips. So I decided it would be an interesting way to learn a bit more about the local real estate market. And through that, I learned more about general contracting. So I never had experience in construction, but that was an opportunity to learn more. And that positioned me well then to take advantage of a new opportunity when I was in California, where I live now. I heard about accessory dwelling units, which are small homes on properties that have an existing single family or multifamily dwelling. So I heard about accessory dwelling units and, had my general contracting hat on at that point, and realized if the regulations were lifted and made it easier to build an ADU, the next constraint would be general contracting capacity. So started thinking about how I could get involved in the ADU space in that direction. So I then crossed paths again with another contractor out here in California and partnered up with him to create Snap ADU about 3 years ago. So I'm finally getting to see all those skills I built up doing what I was supposed to do over the first part of my career. Finally got a place to really apply those and feel like I was leveraging all these skills that I'd gained.
That's awesome. And it makes me wonder this, sometimes people will go through the journey you did and have the thought cross their mind, wow, I'm failing in life because I'm changing this here and changing here and changing there. But in reality, they're just small pivots, and you're building your learning from one period of your life in your business professional life to then go to the next thing. And it's new, but it's the same thing because I'm taking these skills. Is that what you found in your journey as well?
Oh, exactly right. But it is scary to take that leap. I was, it was really difficult to say I'm leaving one of the best companies in the world to work for, Bain & Company, and I'm going to go do this in real estate. I mean, yes, it was a huge leap of faith. And at the time when you're building those skills, it doesn't always make sense like how that's going to translate. It's only in retrospect you see how all of this is adding up to your next role.
Yes, 100%. So here you are in this, when you co-founded Snap ADU, a unique, really tight niche there. It's not like, let me just build a house or let me just do a fix and flip. That's a unique thing. So now you have to educate people. And when a lead comes in the door for, hey, I was interested in this, boy, you're having to take the aspect of, I need to wow them. I need to impress them. I need to close them. So how do you make the most of those leads walking in your door?
This has been an evolution. You have to figure out your process by possibly being on the front lines yourself and seeing exactly what the client needs, especially in a new industry like ours. When we first started doing this 3 years ago, we were really just figuring it out along the way. And so now that we really understand what works, you can start putting that into a process flow. And only recently have we really built out the automation when that lead walks in the door, like you talked about, where we know these are the pieces of information that will make it easier for them to say yes to a project or for them to realize that it's not a fit. So we now have a really detailed drip campaign that kicks off to get them to sign up for the next phase of the project, which for us is a discovery call to get on a live chat with someone about their property to see exactly what's going to fit there. And then once that discovery call phase is finished, then it triggers another set of emails that go out just to support what our sales folks will be doing. So we see a lot of that automation as sort of a backstop and a safety net to the more personal touch that people will be adding along the way. So we've really seen the benefit of that, though, where we're able to handle two or three times as many leads as we had with the same staff, because we've been diligent in documenting those processes and automating those workflows.
You know, I've heard this. Have you ever heard of Jeffrey Gitomer, the sales trainer?
I haven't.
He's a very popular sales trainer, and I saw him once here in Denver, and I remember this statement that he made, that people like to buy, but they don't like to be sold. And you said something really powerful with, you know, good content and educating people. Well, you don't need to push people and fit that square peg in a round hole just to make your numbers. You want to make sure it's the right fit for people. If it's not, wonderful. We're here if it ever becomes the right fit. But here's this element here. Here's this aspect here. Here's this point here that you need to understand. And maybe this content that you're putting in front of people helps them to come to that decision. So I think that's a really huge piece that people miss in their marketing, because they feel like, I just need to sell, sell, sell.
I think that's exactly right, Mike. And for us too, a lot of our team is very head oriented versus heart oriented. Yeah. And by that, I mean, we're very much into the data, the facts, the process. We know exactly what it's going to take to build this ADU. And so that was sort of the foundational piece we definitely needed. It's important. It's also very good for SEO to have a lot of that kind of content on your website. But there are a lot of folks that are making a decision with their heart, especially when it comes to housing, likely for a loved one or for even themselves in some cases. So we had to layer in that too, the client storytelling of people who have already built an accessory dwelling unit. What did that look like for them? What was that journey? So exactly like you said, you know, putting that content out there, not to sell someone, but just to give them something to engage with. And another mantra that we've really embraced lately in our sales process is we should never just be checking in. If that's all we have to say, then it should just not even be a note that's going out. It should be valuable content that is useful for them, that they're going to want to watch, that it's going to educate them in some way. And they're going to let us know when they're ready to move on. So we just need to keep staying in touch, but in meaningful ways that really layer on new information or new stories on top of what they already know from us.
Yeah, you mentioned SEO, and I think that's so important, because you have one hat that you put on to write content and build website content for Google for SEO. And there's both on page, you know, so you need to make sure you have great content, make sure it's got semantic relevance and all of that. But then also you need to put your other hat on and write those stories and engage the emotions of the prospective clients so that they really are drawn in. What do you find is the good balance there, so that someone that's reading something isn't kind of going, that just doesn't make sense, because you wrote it for Google?
Right. I think that's been our biggest strength, is that we were writing this honestly for ourselves. We started putting a lot of information on our website just to ensure that we had a repository of everything we were learning. Each one of these cities in our area, and we're only in greater San Diego, but that's 15 different jurisdictions, they all have their own different take on ADU legislation. So we had to keep all of that straight. We needed to document the nitty gritty of what's going to happen with utilities and site work and all these kind of dry topics. But because we were writing this for ourselves, we were writing it in a way that was compelling, that reads naturally. So we started building it for ourselves, and that helped. Then when you layer on the SEO, you're just thinking about, how can I add a tweak here or there to hit those relevant keywords, to make sure that we stand out, to add the internal linking in our own site that's going to give us that kind of authority. So as far as the client storytelling that you talked about, Mike, we'll have, for example, a project overview that might be about a family that built built an accessory dwelling unit in San Diego for their mother-in-law to move into because they were going to have a new addition to the family. A baby was coming, and they wanted the mother-in-law to be close. So there's that whole story of just the human element. But from the SEO perspective, maybe that property is in a homeowners association. Maybe it's in a coastal zone. Maybe it had a septic system. So all those kind of details on the construction and build side of our industry, if you're also infusing those kinds of words that are specific to that property, it then becomes a vehicle for local SEO. It might, you might talk about the exact jurisdiction or neighborhood that it's in. And then also these specific types of projects that people have, where if you have a septic system, you're probably Googling that septic system with ADU to see if that's even possible. And then that customer story is going to come up. So now you're reading about that topic that you were interested in, and it's colored with this great homeowner story as the backdrop. So you can really marry up both of those concepts in these articles.
100%. You know, it makes me think of something because I'm an avid Shark Tank watcher. I'm sure you are as well. So you hear this so many times, wow, that your thing is a really amazing thing, but man, nobody knows what it is. The uphill battle to teach the public about your thing is going to be huge to educate the public. Well, I've never heard of an ADU. Now, maybe if you explain it it's like you'd have, it's like, oh yeah, I see what that is, but there's nuances, there's differences. So you've got the road to not only explain what it is to make people realize, oh, this is what it is, but then there's misconceptions. So how do you take from the storytelling and engaging people in with stories, how do you then communicate that message to first get people to even understand what it is and what it can do for them?
Yes, I think you're hitting on the topic that there's these articles that are aimed at different parts of the buying cycle, where in the beginning, people are just learning about the topic, and then they're going to get into the more specific pieces of, well, how do I do it? How much does it cost? Who's the right builder? So we put out topics all the time on different levels. And so it might be, sort of a top 10 list of reasons people are building an accessory dwelling unit, or it might be a guide for what family members should consider when adding a granny flat and using some of those different terms. If people haven't heard of an ADU, maybe they heard of a granny flat or a casita or some of these other, more regional terms. So again, is we're kind of using the customer stories as that backdrop, we're able to come up with, different tips and things that might appeal to folks who didn't know they were looking for an ADU. Maybe it's someone who thought they were looking for an assisted living option for their parents. So you might want to write an article about that, about how ADUs compare to assisted living and these other things that folks who could be a good candidate for your product, but don't know they're looking for it, try to put your product name in association with those other types of things that your audience might be searching for.
Yep. I think it's really important to, in that educational approach, whether it's articles, videos, whatever the case is, to make sure that you're on common ground with people. So once your marketing now has attracted that incoming lead and maybe they've booked that call, how do you, during the conversation, make sure that you are on common ground? Because certainly there's going to be a time where someone says on the call, well, I just don't think this is a fit for me because, and you're listening to that, reason and going, that is not the case. So how do you say that to them without being confrontational so that they get it and go, ooh, I do see your point.
Yes. This has actually been a focus for us in the last few months as we've tried to shift to more of a customer orientation. So we would try to reframe the client's objection in that case. So perhaps they said something like, oh, wow, this is just way more expensive than I thought. It's not going to make sense for me. We might reframe that as, I totally understand you want this accessory dwelling unit to be a good value. So try to understand what the underlying objection is really coming from and frame that in a positive of light so you can get back on the same page with them. Sure, we want it to be a good value for you too. Or if there's something about, the ADU isn't going to fit with the property. It's going to look like a box. It's not a good fit for me. Something like, yes, we definitely want to make sure that the overall aesthetic matches the property to help that value and appreciate your value of your property too. So just trying to figure out what the underlying, like you said, a connection point is with that client, because you can always find common ground, even in the worst objections.
Yes. So what is the typical, if you have a client who now fully understands what they can do, what is the typical project that you're working on? Do you find a lot of commonalities that way? Like typically we're doing this.
Yes. So, you know, typically as far as the projects that we're doing, it's a kind of small percentage of our total leads. So if they make it through all the way through our proposal process and they say yes, we've really vetted them from our perspective too, that we're going to deliver on their project, that it's the kind of accessory dwelling unit that we know will exceed expectations on. So for us, that means it's someone who is not necessarily looking for the cheapest provider just on a, you know, numbers to numbers basis. It's also the qualitative factors that they're going to care about, that it's going to be delivered on time, on budget, that we're going to advocate for them when necessary if the city is asking for something that the state doesn't require and we have to push back. So we really are looking for the type of client that we want to say yes to, and we have to be smart about when to turn down a project if it's not a fit with what we're going to deliver on.
Yes. Well, I just love your approach to business and how you put your clients first. I've said this so many times, I probably need to create a bumper sticker, but you know how we always go, oh, you know, a B2B, we're business, or no, we're B2C, business to consumer. But in reality, we're all H to H, human to human. And you guys are putting your prospects and your clients first, understanding what they need and presenting content so they can understand really what their options are. And then you're making sure that it's the right fit for them. So I think that your approach to business is really fresh and refreshing.
Well, thank you, Mike. And I think too, in our industry, you know, general contracting, frankly, the bar is not that high. So it's akin to used car salesman in a lot of cases where folks are hesitant to interact. It's an opaque thing. Like, am I getting a good deal? Am I getting taken advantage of? And so we really wanted to change that. And so that's the impetus for a lot of the transparency on our website, where we put up all the information on pricing, all the background information I told you about earlier, where it was for our own team, but also just to educate homeowners. So we're trying to change that persona and make this a different experience for folks who are going to be building this unit right there on their property.
I love it. Well, Whitney, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. What's the best way people can learn more and reach out and connect with you?
You can check out our website at snapadu.com. You can find a bunch of information, not only on our industry, but also you can get ideas on how you can really focus on a niche. So we hope you find it helpful.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today.
Likewise. Thanks, Mike.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.